Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sportscast, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. What is going on? We are back sooner than expected for a special show. It's a little bit shorter than a regular show, but a little bit longer than a royal rant. So, you know, it is what it is. I am, of course, the godfather, Nate Milton, who I just got back from the levee. I drove my Chevy there, but it was dry. So, you know, we are where we are. And joining me, as always, is my tag team partner, Marcus Vandenberg. I still watch hockey to this day. To this day.
Oh, yeah, I still watch hockey.
Vandenberg.
That reminds me, I have a second hockey story, too, for you, Nate.
See, this is what Marcus Vandenberg does, folks. Like, I'm going to pull back the curtain here. Because Marcus and I hit
K-fabe,
Marcus up.
Brother, right. K-fabe, come on.
This is a shoot, brother. Like, I hit Marcus up last night. I was like, yeah, we need to talk about this boxing match. And Marcus is like, cool, you know, I'll be back around, you know, yada, yada, your time, whatever, whatever. So I'm like, okay, I can't wait to hear Marcus's take on this fight. Because, you know, Marcus is a longtime viewer and student of the sweet science. I'm ready for Marcus's take. But Marcus Vandenberg informed me of a very crucial plot point right before we hit record on the machines tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Only one of the Kings actually witnessed the fight as it happened last night.
Twitter doesn't count.
I mean, Twitter counts a little bit, right, but not only, ladies and gentlemen, did Marcus Vandenberg not watch the fight live, but he had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, as we are closing out Black History Month, to tell me he's got two hockey stories he wants to talk about this week.
Wow, I was obviously watching Hockey Night in Canada yet last night. It was Saturday. No, I didn't order the fight name. We'll get to that when we talk about the fight
itself.
Yes.
So here's the thing. Like, I don't know, because I've switched laptops since the last time we've done this. So I'm going to assume that I've got the imaging somewhere. And if I don't, there'll just be a blank spot. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We haven't done this in probably a year, at least.
At least a year, yeah.
For Marcus Vandenberg. His hockey minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro.
Yes, thank you.
It's time for the segment that's cooler than a polar bear's toenail.
Here's the puck to Seth Jones. Leg one for Jones. Cutting it, he scores! Seth Jones scores on the feed out of the left wing corner.
It's Marcus's hockey minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro.
All right. You're going to learn today.
It's been a long time. So two things, Nate. One, a cat happened, I guess, almost 3 weeks ago now. So as I mentioned, I watched a lot of Hockey Night in Canada. And I was watching hockey on a Saturday night. It was the first Saturday of Black History Month. And during the broadcast, the NHL was airing Black History Month commercials. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, it's timely, it's relevant. The problem, Nate, that these Black History Month commercials featured zero black hockey players in them.
Mm.
There were two separate commercials featuring three NHL players each, zero black players.
So you're saying that the WWE and Vince McMahon did Black History Month better than the National Hockey League?
Essentially. And the ads were, you know, just shots to three guys sort of mentioning what Black History Month is and, you know, what it means. And then it was a 30-second spot. So I tweet about this ad and I say, you know, the NHL has these two Black History Month ads. It features zero black people. And I thought nothing of it. And then people kept sharing it and retweeting it. Took off a little bit. The one interesting thing was of the six players, one was probably my skin color. And I got a lot of tweets of, hey, isn't Matt Dumba black? And I said, no, he's actually half Filipino. He's not black. Just because he's tan doesn't mean he's black, right? Like, there's more to being black than just the color of your skin.
Hold on. But before you finish with the story, so like the ads itself, right? So they're not focusing on like old players like Grant Fuhr or people like that. It's just these random white five white players and your Filipino brother talking about what Black history means to them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I will try to pull up the amateur.
Like they couldn't even do the thing where they do like the B roll of Grant Fuhr and Anson Carter and who's I got? PK Subban.
Yeah, like I mean you have I think that's that you know, people have tweeted and said, hey, you know, race shouldn't matter, blah 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 blah. And look, it's better than Nate, I just sent you one of the videos. It's better than, I guess, no mention of Black jerseys enough. The reason why I was frustrated was there's already a stigma, and probably a fair one, that the NHL does not have Black players, and which is, you know, they have Black players, just not a lot of them. Why not spend this time to spotlight them for maybe a casual fan who might not know a PK Subban or a Seth Jones or a Wayne Simmons, and actually give them that spotlight?
So for the listeners at home, I'm pulling up this video that Marcus Vandenberg has sent. So did anybody from the NHL respond?
Well, that's what I was hoping for, and no one responded. And
Gary Bettman said, y'all better not say nothing.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was not going to sort of reach out and cause a fuss because the NHL is not my beat, but I'm glad that 30,000 people at least viewed this video to see what was going on.
I forgot I changed my Twitter password. Because, you know, we got Russians interfering with all types of stuff these days, Marcus.
Elections, Twitter accounts. Could you imagine the Russians interfering in WrestleMania somehow?
They might actually improve the booking.
They might.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so this, like, for those that haven't seen it, and you can check out Marcus's Twitter feed for the actual video, but like, there's no, like I said, there's no B-roll of historic Black players. It's just they got these dudes like in a medium shot, looking straight at the camera, talking about Black history.
And they sounded it was a hostage. Like, they did not want to do this video.
Although, to be fair, your boy Matt, I mean, I was kind of fooled for a second, too. I can't even lie.
Matt Dumba also, when Kobe died, he came out before a game in a custom Kobe Bryant Minnesota Wild jersey.
Ah.
So Matt can come to the
show.
He's invited.
Yeah, he fooled me for a little bit because, like, that his edges was clean. Mm-hmm. So you said you saw the other commercial, too. So there was no Black players in the other commercials either?
No, there wasn't even a Matt Dumba in the other commercial. It was just three more.
Why would you do that? Like, if you know you don't – like, if you're not going to ask a PK Subban or any Black players to actually be in the commercial, why would you make the commercial?
I just want to know the strategy. Like, did they purposely not want Black players because they wanted to appear to be inclusive, where you had non-Black players sort of like inviting?
We don't want to stereotype it because, you know, we don't want to be stereotypical and just get the Black players on the Black History Month spot.
Or get two Black players and one Black player. You know, or it doesn't have to be all Black if you want to show that the league is, you know, accepting of everyone.
Yeah, it should have been two Black players, your boy Matt and Ovi. And that could have been our Black history team.
Yeah, so I was just completely baffled by this
Because anybody that's seen the Eastern Motors commercial knows Ovi got a little hood in him.
He does.
So Ovi could have come to the NHL cookout. Yeah, this I'm trying to think because obviously, like the NBA probably does it better than most leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Just given the demographics of not only their players but also their target market. Baseball does a pretty good job, surprisingly, with like their Black History Month stuff and then honoring Jackie Robinson on Jackie Robinson Day and stuff like that. The NFL,
yeah. Well, I think the NFL and the NFL starts because it's during the Super Bowl and then the off season. I mean, there's not really action going on.
So what you're saying is we need to look at the XFL because what is the XFL doing to honor the great Black players in the history of the XFL?
PJ Walker and Cardo Jones have jobs. There you go. That's how they're being honored.
They need to do like a Black History Minute on every game with narrated by Rod Smart. Like, this is He Hate Me with your XFL Black History Minute. just Rod Smart narrating moments from the Civil Rights Movement.
Wonder what Rod Smart's up to.
I mean, he had a decent little run in the NFL, didn't he?
Special teams guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a couple guys in the XFL. Like the football, now that we're in week three, Marcus, it's not great. But there's a couple guys I think that could at least sniff a tryout in the NFL.
PJ Walker should get a look. I mean, and I mentioned this when I was on with John and Way on the Hangout, is I think week one, they lacked sort of those social media plays or moments where people are going to share it.
Yeah.
And since then, PJ Walker's had a couple of plays that stand out where, you know, it took off a little bit on social media. He's only 24, but he is kind of small for a quarterback. He's only 5'11". But I hope that he does get another look in the NFL.
Yeah. He could be somebody, obviously, you know, he's not going to ever be like this NFL All-Pro, but I'm looking at particularly a team like the Seahawks. Like, I could see Pete Carroll, you know, bringing this guy in, you know, as a Russell Wilson type, I guess, similar type. So that way, if Russell goes down, it's not like you have to go from Russell Wilson to a statue in the backfield.
Yeah, I could see that.
You said you had another hockey story, Marcus. So what's this bonus hockey minute that we have? Is it going to be is it what I think it is?
Might be.
Does it involve maybe not a Black history figure, but an orange history figure?
Orange history. What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about America's favorite hockey team that I could care less about hanging out with Donald Trump at the rally.
Oh no, God no.
With what was it, Mike Ruzioni?
Yeah, the Maryland Ice team was at a Trump rally on Thursday. Wearing the MAGA hats too.
Yeah, it's like now y'all cool with the Russians? Okay, yeah. I see you.
No, not that. So once again, Hockey Night in Canada last night, was watching the Leafs game.
You had the TSN package at the crib. What's going on?
Now I have the NHL package.
Is this what I'm going to be subjected to when I come out for WrestleMania? We're going to be watching hockey five nights a week?
I mean, WrestleMania is the day after Hockey Night in Canada, in theory, so might be at the crib watching CBC. No, we'll go out. So I was watching HNIC, which I think, you know, is hilarious because
yes,
the double meaning. And
Don Cherry used to be the HNIC.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
Oh, does he have a job? Like, is he working anywhere now?
He's doing a podcast, I think, with his son. That's the last I heard about him.
I bet it's really angry.
Yes, grapes. So Leafs are hosting the Hurricanes, and Carolina's starting goalie got injured early. And they went to their backup, and the backup goalie was coming out to defend the puck coming down the ice, and was leveled by a Maple Leafs player, Kyle Clifford, and he was injured and could not return to the game. And so that led the Hurricanes to go to the emergency backup goalie, which the NHL is unique in the sense of there are emergency backups for games where in a situation where if you lose your top two goalies, you need to go to essentially a man off the street. And this man off the street was 42-year-old David Ayers, who was actually and is actually a Zamboni driver. And he works with the Toronto Marlies, which is affiliated with the Maple Leafs.
Yes, yeah, we had a big discussion about the Marlies on the Tooth Fairy episode of the Rocky Mountain View Picture Show with Jimmy Corderas and John Pollock.
I need to. I'm behind it now. I need to go back and listen. Oh wait, no, I heard that episode. What was the discussion?
Because John wanted it to be more authentic, like instead of a fictional minor league team, they could make it a real team. Because he ended up playing for the Kings in the movie. So they're like, John wished that it was an actual minor league team. He's like, we could have seen him playing against the Marlies, and him and Jimmy Corderas went off on this tangent about Canadian minor league hockey. The emergency backup goalie, is it an actual position, or is it just like every team has, like, they hire you to be the concession stand guy, and they know you played a little hockey in college. They're like, hey, if we get in trouble, we're going to holler at you.
It is a combination of the two. So this guy, he sort of served as emergency backup for this NHL.com story. It says more than half the NHL games the past two seasons at Scotiabank. So he's sort of like on call. He's at the game, sort of, you know, just in case. He's waiting around.
Just wishing for people to get hurt.
Essentially. Or maybe not. I mean, who knows? So he's the maintenance operations manager at the former Maple Leaf Gardens, and he's a practice goalie for the Marlies.
Okay. And
he is called into action in the second period of last night's game, where the Hurricanes were up 4-1 at the time, and you sort of figured, you know, the Maple Leafs will now roar back and win this game because this guy, as I mentioned, 42. His last game before this, they said on the broadcast, was a few years ago, and he allowed like 11 goals in his last game. So,
that would be a sign to retire if I were this man.
Yes. But
who's the coach that left him in? Like,
that's a good point. Probably didn't like the guy.
It's like when a reliever gets shelled and the manager's like, hey, you're going to have to stay out there for a while.
Eat some innings. So actually it was 3-1 when he came in, and the Hurricanes scored after an own goal by Toronto. So they were up 4-1. And finally, the Maple Leafs got two shots on goal against this guy, and both shots went in. And it was 4-3 going into the third period. And at this point, I was watching the game, and I was like, all right, this is going to be like a 10-3. Route for Toronto, because this guy couldn't stop anything. And during the intermission, he said during the broadcast that he told the team, like, look, you know, I just needed to get through that period. I'm going to lock in now. And, you know,
I just got to get warmed up.
Yeah, I got to get warmed up. Third period rolls around. This guy doesn't allow a goal. The Carolina wins 6-3. He ends up saving the last shot of the game, which was great. He gets a standing O from a audibly pissed off Maple Leafs crowd that was pretty much booing the entire third period because Toronto just looked awful on offense. And it's this great story. This guy was 42. He had a kidney transplant 15 years ago and did not know if he would be able to play in hockey or the NHL again. He actually never made the NHL, so this was sort of like his debut. He was paid $500 for his night's work and gets the cheapest jersey, which they made him a jersey for his time. while he had the Hurricanes jersey on, he was wearing his Toronto Marlies mask, his Dolly mask. And, you know, obviously the best part about this is he was competing against guys that he's familiar with. He, you know, the Marlies are associated with the Leafs. There's a lot of back and forth. He served as the goalie for the Maple Leafs had a practice at Nathan Phillips Square recently, an outdoor practice. He was the goalie for that. So, like, he knows all these guys, and right. he's now sort of asked to sort of play on the other team and to help Carolina, and ends up winning. So one of those unique hockey stories that wouldn't happen in any other sport just because of the way, you know, the sport works out. But, yeah, got the win. And then this morning he was back at work for the Marlies on the ice. Like, you know, nothing ever happened. So great story.
Yeah, this somebody's going to make a movie out of this.
Yes.
They're going, because I was flipping through the channels today and that dumb Miracle movie was on. Yeah. Y'all can tell I really have no love for the 1980 U.S. hockey team.
Zero.
But that Kurt Russell movie was on, and I was just like, oh, we doing this already? But, yeah, that's actually a good hockey story. You know what, Marcus? I'm glad you brought that to the people this week.
Thank you. Thank you. It was as someone who roots for the Leafs, I was excited to see him come in at first because I figured they would actually win the game. And then when I realized I was not going to win, I was sort of rooting for him to just to get the win. And, you know, it's a great story.
Yes. What's his name again?
David Ayers.
Okay, David Ayers. Shout out to you, brother. But yeah. So I wonder if hypothetically, if or theoretically, if Carolina won the Stanley Cup this year, would my man get a ring or something?
That's a great story idea. If it's like any other sport, he would get a ring because he, you know, played for the team. I don't know how it works in hockey, but it's a good question.
I'm sure they'd let him, just for the pub, they'd let him have a day with the cup.
Oh, he would be at the parade for sure.
He'd have a day with the cup, but he'd still have to work at the arena. Just
yeah.
Just lugging the cup around, cleaning floors. but yeah, good job with the Hockey Minute, Marcus.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that was the undercard of this week's show. But now, Marcus Vandenberg, let's talk about the main event. Because boxing is back. Last night from Las Vegas, or I guess Paradise, Nevada, to be more accurate. I don't want this to be a WrestleMania's coming to Hollywood when they're actually in Inglewood type of situation. like those are two different, same general area, two very different.
No respect for Inglewood.
Well, full disclosure, like me and Chris and Andrew Thompson from Post Wrestling recorded an episode of the NWA show yesterday, and Andrew was going on about like all the ads are Los Angeles, Hollywood, WWE's going Hollywood and no reference to Inglewood. And I'm like, that's because they know these white people that's going to WrestleMania got Google. And the first thing when you type in Inglewood, it's going to come up with those Dr. Dre lyrics. Inglewood, always up to no good. And they're going to be like, do we really want to go to WrestleMania this year? This ain't stupid.
Inglewood gets a bad rap. It's not that bad.
Live from the corner of Crenshaw Boulevard, WrestleMania 37. Presented by the Compton Swap Meet. Oh, but then, let's talk about this fight, Marcus Vandenberg. It was Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, part two, the rematch from their fight in December of 2018. Marcus, you said you did not watch the show, or you followed the fight through Twitter.
Yeah, so about that. I mean, I was home alone last night. The idea of ordering this fight and spending $80 to watch it alone wasn't going to happen.
Plus hockey was on. You was like, nah.
Well, hockey was done at that point. But
well, here's the thing, Marcus. I did order it from my favorite cable company. Shout out to Nefarious Means. Because you're
always
right.
Always undefeated.
Always undefeated. You love to see it. But here's the thing, Marcus. Like, I agree with you. Because unless you've actually got, like, a fight party going on, there is very little value to a boxing pay-per-view. And I love boxing. Like, we both came up boxing fans. But given, like, the length of the undercard, like, the main event, I don't think started until, what, like,
it was
11 o'clock?
No, it was after midnight Eastern.
Yeah, it was really late. So it's like, if I'm throwing a party, first of all, like, that's a lot of fights and a lot of preambles. And my friends, Marcus Vandenberger, I'm sure they're like many people's friends around the country. When they come to watch boxing or a wrestling pay-per-view, there are some adult beverages involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, after a certain point, you know, I love my friends, but it's like, do I really want these folks with
these
that
people.
Amount of those? Like, what do you mean, you people? Do I really want these people with that amount of energy in their system, so to speak, at my crib past 1 o'clock in the morning? Not really. Maybe when I was 20, but now, nah.
Yeah.
Like, we got things to do in the morning. Y'all got to go. So yeah, like I didn't order it through traditional means. I went through nefarious means, and the main event, Marcus Vandenberg. I was excited for this fight. You know, they had a lot of hype coming into it, and the thing that, like, I think you would have enjoyed the most was the entrances between the two guys, because Tyson Fury came out looking like Macho Man Randy Savage on the throne with people carrying him.
I did see the video of that.
But then your man Deontay Wilder leaned into Black History Month to the fullest. Coming out to this, I don't know who the rapper was. He was kind of a Wale-ish kind of dude.
D-Smoke.
And he was like, oh, that's the guy's name, D-Smoke?
Yeah, he's from Inglewood. He was on the Netflix show.
Okay.
Rhythm and Flow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, shout out to D-Smoke, because he was like, it was the blackest, angriest fight song you'd ever heard. And the Wilder's walking through the backstage area, and they showing pictures of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and Harriet Tubman on the wall. I'm like, this is either going to go really good or really bad for black people tonight, because it's a lot of hype right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of hype.
And 20, 30 minutes later, Marcus Vandenberg, we got our answer. It was not a good night for Deontay Wilder.
Yeah. You got his ass kicked, Nate.
Yeah, it was brutal. Like, I thought, like, the first two rounds were what they were. They were just kind of feeling each other out. But once Fury started connecting in the third round, and he busted Wilder in the ear, and I don't know if it was an eardrum or what, but, like, Deontay had no type of focus after that. And, like, Wilder's a dude anyway that you know, the big thing about him is he's powerful, but his technique is a little bit lacking.
It's very much lacking.
And it was even more so lacking when the brother couldn't tell which way was up. And yeah, the next four rounds were not pretty for Deontay Wilder, Marcus Vandenberg. Like, just kind of judging by the response that you were seeing online, like, what were you making of Wilder's efforts in this fight? And more importantly, like, the way Tyson Fury just kind of switched his game up from the last fight and was manhandling this dude.
The two things I kept seeing online was the technique, as you mentioned, and this technique has improved a little bit as a heavyweight, but it's, you know, it's not pretty in most fights. And the second point was his fatigue. Like, was he in shape for this fight? It sounded like people were questioning his stamina, if he was actually, you know, training for this fight. So I think that it sounded like he got exposed by a better technical fighter. And, you know, Tyson is not a guy known for his power.
No.
But Fury also has a awkward style to him.
Yes. Yeah. I made a point of, because I did a quick reaction show that's available on the Patreon. And, like, looking at Fury, like, I noticed it in the first fight, but even more so in this fight, because he did switch some things up. He got with Sugar Hill Stewart Manuel Stewart's son, as one of his trainers. And it's like, I think like his style was even more pronounced. Like it looks like if you and I were playing Fight Night and you was just messing around with the controls, trying to mess up my rhythm, that's how Tyson Fury looks in real life.
Yeah. On top of that, he's just a bit, I mean, he's 40 pounds heavier than Wilder.
Yeah.
Like think about that.
40 pounds heavier and what? Two, 3 inches taller.
2 inches taller. Yeah. So he's a giant of a human being. And, you know, looking back at the first fight, I think it's impressive that Wilder knocked him down twice because of some of the things he mentioned. Like, he is awkward. He's a bigger fighter. He was able to eat those knockdowns and pop back up, which was even more impressive.
Yeah.
I think if there was any doubt going into last night about who the better heavyweight was between the two of them, I think it's pretty cut and dry that Tyson Fury is now, you know, the best heavyweight in all the land.
Yeah, and this is something I wanted to save until I actually had a chance to talk with you about it, Marcus, because that's the big question coming out of this. Like, what's next? Like, I think the for Tyson Fury, let's start with Fury, because I think for Fury, there's a couple different ways he could go, but probably the one to fight with the most money is Anthony Joshua, Joshua actually takes that fight.
Yeah, that's the next logical fight, especially that fight can be in England, maybe at Wembley. Is Joshua ready for that fight? I mean, Joshua's another one too, like Wilder, who is, I think, a little bit flawed in his game. I think Wilder's big thing is, I think sometimes his motor isn't there. Physically, he's like an Adonis. But I just feel sometimes I think he's just coasting in the ring, which you can afford to do when you're fighting against lesser competition. But if you're doing it against Tyson Fury, you need to sort of be, you know, have your A game.
And then that's a point somebody, because this was a great night for boxing, because I can't remember the last time, Marcus, I had more than one person talk to me about boxing on Twitter, and I had about 6 or 7 people for about a good hour after the fight, having conversations about Fury and about Wilder, and somebody
including
was like...
Brandon from New Jersey.
Yes, including Brandon from New Jersey, which Twitter makes strange bedfellows. But he was... somebody was like, do you think Wilder got exposed? You know, that now fighters have a blueprint. And I'm like, well, theoretically they have a blueprint, but you have to be able to execute the blueprint, and I don't think there's too many Tyson Furies out there that could do that to Deontay Wilder. Because like you said, Wilder's not great with his technique, but his physical attributes made up for it against a lot of the top heavyweights.
Yeah, and before Fury, I mean, not that Wilder's facing tomato cans, but the level of competition, I think, was not all the way there. So, you know, a lesser fighter might have known this is how you beat Deontay Wilder, but just the competition level didn't allow it.
The competition level and the, like, just like you said, the physical attributes of Wilder. Like, it helps when you you're 6'7", 250 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, fought Luis Ortiz twice.
Yeah.
Chris Arreola.
And he actually had trouble with Ortiz in that first fight, but then came out in the second fight and waxed Ortiz.
Yeah. Dominic Brazil, KO'd in the first round. Eric Molina. Like, there's just a lot of big, fat fighters. And you know,
like that episode of Simpsons where Homer was a boxer and like all of them, like Lucius Fox, it was like the Don King character.
Yes.
He lined up all those tomato cans for Homer to fight. I think worst case scenario for Wilder is I think he becomes a gatekeeper. Like, I think he's still good enough to beat, like you said, those fat guys, including somebody like a Ruiz, because I think a Wilder-Ruiz fight could be pretty interesting now.
Speaking of someone who questionable motor and questionable shape.
Yeah, like, I'd love to see those two guys mix it up now, but I think, like, Wilder will be good enough to beat everybody except for, like, the top 2 or 3 guys going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think we'll get a third fight between Wilder and Fury eventually?
Eventually, maybe. I mean, another match right away? No. I think that performance was too one-sided where,
yeah. So
you know, if you're Fury, it's like, why would you fight Wilder again? Especially if you know you could get a fight with Joshua, which would probably do better, at least within England, than this fight will.
Yeah.
Third match.
Yeah, I think if I'm Fury, I want Joshua first, and then he has the luxury as the champ to kind of chill and see where the rest of the division shakes out. If I'm Wilder, I think that Ruiz fight would be a good one for him because it's kind of a name with Andy Ruiz, but also somebody, if Wilder comes back right, I think that's somebody that shouldn't be too difficult for him to beat.
Yeah, and, you know, Fury's only 31, so he's got some time.
Yeah, which is crazy because if you look at the two of them side by side, you think Fury's the older guy.
Hard living, man. Tyson's been through some things.
What's that? The Men in Black, is it Men in Black 3? Where he's like the young Tommy Lee Jones. He's like, I'm only 34, and he's like, ooh, those are some city miles.
Why are you watching Men in Black 3, by the way?
Because I support Will Smith, whatever he does.
Was he in it?
Yeah, he was in Men in Black. You're thinking about Men in Black International with dude that played Thor.
Okay.
Yeah, Men in Black 3 was the one where James Brolin or Josh Brolin played young Tommy Lee Jones, and Will Smith had to go back and save him.
Oh, all right. Maybe I'll watch that.
Then they made Men in Black International, which didn't have anybody from the old movie in it.
All right. That's what I'm thinking about.
So, but in terms of heavyweight boxing in general, Marcus, like, do you think last night was just a blip, you know, just because we had these two big, larger-than-life figures, or do you think with Fury at the top now that heavyweight boxing is something that can kind of, if not get back to where it was when we were coming up in the 90s, to at least better than it was during Klitschko's time at the top?
I'm not sold that heavyweight boxing is back. I'm curious to see what the numbers do in this pay-per-view. I don't know what their goal was, but I think it'll easily be more than a million. I don't see it doing 2 million.
Not Floyd numbers.
Oh no. I mean, some of the non-profile Floyd fights did between 1 and 2. I mean, obviously Pacquiao and Conor were exceptions to the rule, but I can see maybe doing a Floyd number in the sense of like maybe a Marquez or not a Marquez, a Berto or you know, one of his secondary opponents. But I just wonder, especially with the American losing, like how much steam does that take out of a future fight for a heavyweight fight? I mean, like Tyson Fury.
You already know what I'm thinking, Marcus Vandenberg.
What?
Because you said the American losing, and that was something that I was watching. Because you know, I can't be trusted, especially in Black History Month, to not be an adjutant. Uh-huh. They got the American fighter taking on this dude from the UK, and this American crowd is all about the dude from the UK. Like, I don't think, like, I think they didn't, like, they weren't that behind our brother Deontay Wilder. So I don't know how much that factors into the equation going forward, Marcus.
You mean the crowd sided towards the more problematic fighter? I'm shocked. I'm shocked that they gravitated toward the fighter who has issues with gay people and a long list of just hateful shit he said over the years. But
yeah, he's a, like, I don't know if I like Tyson Fury, Marcus Vandenberg. Like, that's like, what am I supposed to feel as a boxing fan about this dude?
I mean, if you got a conscience, you're probably, you know, not, I mean, you could be a fan of his in-ring work, but in terms of like a human being, he's not for me, you know?
No, yeah, because like on the one hand, like I appreciate like his honesty, right? And then talking about, you know, his mental issues and stuff like that, and working with the Frank Bruno Foundation and all that. But it's like on the other side of the coin, you're right. You got all this hateful stuff, this homophobic stuff, this stuff that's misogynistic. Like, yeah, like I can't rock with this dude.
I would say I was surprised that the WWE sort of paid him all that money to do Crown Jewel, but at the same time, they also paid Mayweather. And,
yeah. Ooh, that's another question. Do you think we'll see your man Tyson Fury show up at WrestleMania?
Maybe as a fan. I don't see him involved at all. Maybe he'll be one of those, you know, cutaways ringside, but I don't see him wrestling.
Tyson Fury versus The Fiend.
Or maybe that's it. I mean, it would be a lot of money to pay him to do this, but if you needed something for Strowman, maybe you have him tag with Strowman. I wasn't impressed.
Strowman's had worse tag team partners, like a 10-year-old boy.
How dare you diss Nicholas?
Hey, look, here's the thing, Marcus. After what happened this week with that boy, Quavon or whatever his name is, I don't trust no kids, man.
Yeah, you fools on the internet giving money to strangers, man. What are you doing?
That little boy, what, I keep saying little boy. He might be 9 or he might be 19. We don't know. This little person finessed the whole world off of being bullied.
Yeah. Was that confirmed that he's rich or he has money or?
That's the thing. Like, video. There's so many conflicting reports because there's pictures out there with him, like flashing money and bottles of champagne and driving cars.
Yeah, he's like white P.O. If you don't know who P.O. is, if you watch DC's Amaro or Troll the internet, you know about P.O. But P.O. is like a Dominican man who looks like a baby. And he's like an actual adult, but he literally looks like a kid. And he's small, too. So
yeah,
that's what he reminds me of.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I can't trust these kids out here. I can't trust our heavyweight champions of the world, Marcus. Like, I don't know who we can trust in this day and age.
The president. Oh, wait. Never mind.
I don't know if I can trust Stephen A. Smith because he told me Wilder was going to win the fight.
Well, if you trust the opposite of Stephen A. Smith, then you can trust Stephen A. Smith. Just throw it against Stephen A. on all things combat.
Man, I will say my favorite thing this week involving boxing was Max Kellerman does a show every Friday on ESPN2 called Max on Boxing. And of course it was like an hour long special this week because they were in Vegas centered around the fight. He brought in all these people to talk about the fight. And the last guest he brought on was Brian Kenny.
Okay.
His old partner from when they used to do fights on USA.
Yes.
The Tuesday night fights, and you just seeing them go back and forth talking about it was cool. So I think you're right, Marcus. Like, Fury winning doesn't necessarily mean, like, quote unquote, heavyweight boxing is back. But I do think, and this is something you and I talked about on our year end / year beginning show, I think boxing as a whole, as an entity, is probably healthier than it's been in a while.
I would say that's more of a factor of the DAZN, to be honest. I think the fact that you can watch a Canelo fight.
That's one of the things Max talked about, him and Brian. They were like, when they were doing Tuesday night fights, other than USA, all you really had was HBO and then Showtime. But now you got like DAZN, PBC, ESPN. So there's maybe each entity doesn't have as big a piece of the pie, but there's more people at the table.
Yeah, you're getting more pay-per-view quality fights, not on pay-per-view. And as I mentioned, $80, like that is a hinder for people.
Yeah.
But if you can watch Canelo for maybe, if you pay the $20 a month for DAZN, like that's a lot more tolerable for fans who might not want to spend all that money. So I think the different avenue, and obviously, I wish ATO boxing was still around. That's fallen off.
Mm.
Showtime boxing's fallen off a bit in sense of the kind of fights they get. So from a cable standpoint, the boxing landscape has changed. But on the flip side, you have fights on ESPN now that are actually pretty decent. You know, you're getting Terrence Crawford on ESPN.
Yep.
You're getting fights on Fox through PBC.
Lomachenko's on ESPN a pretty good amount.
Yeah, next week you get Mikey Garcia on the zone. So you're getting these fights.
We had our boy Tony the Tiger fight Charlo.
Yes.
Biggest fight of the year. Like it does. It seems like there's more good boxing out there. If you want to watch it, there's more out there for you as opposed to, you know, 10 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of the actual star power of in boxing, I think they have not replaced Mayweather yet. And
no.
Mayweather was primarily a star because he was the black man that people wanted to see fail.
Mm.
Plus, with the built-in support of the black community for Mayweather, it was a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Boxing has not found that star. Boxing has not found that villain that can be the bad guy but also be the best at the sport. And
really, it should be Fury. Fury should be the bad guy.
It should be, but he's, you know, seen in the ring after fights, and you know, I think he's not going to be that. That's not who he is. I think
that to me made him a villain. Like nigga, you just beat me and you gonna sing some Don McLean in my face. That's why I couldn't be Deontay Wilder, man. Because I would woozy or not. Not man, you're not just gonna sing three whole verses of "America in My Face" like.
Yeah.
And he got who'd he get? He got Bob Arum to sing too. I'm like, come on, man, this is what we doing to this brother. Oh, I did want to ask you about Wilder real quick, Marcus, because one of the things I kind of saw and I saw people asking about during the course of the fight was Wilder's corner, and the fact that. Even in the first two rounds where he actually had a bit of a chance in the fight, they weren't making adjustments. And then they weren't, you know, once he got cut and you know, was bleeding or whatever, like there wasn't a lot of adjustments being made. And then when they threw in the towel, the head trainer wasn't the one that threw in the towel. He didn't even know about it. It was one of the assistant corner men.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of threw it in going on their own judgment. Do you think that, after this fight, next time we see Wilder, that he will kind of, if not clean house, maybe switch some things up with his team? Because I think he's been rocking with that team for a minute.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if he changes. I mean, just he looked at that so bad that naturally you would think, okay, something's not right here. I was not trained properly. Or if he just knows that he didn't do the training himself and that's, you know, he's going to hold himself accountable for that. But the game plan, whatever game plan his team came up with, did not work. And it's one thing, you know, it would have been different if Wilder was knocked out in, like, the second round and that was the fight. But to go that many rounds and not adjust and have no game plan and to take that much punishment from a guy. I think I'm trying to remember the last fight of sort of this magnitude that was so one-sided where it was just an absolute beating where people like felt bad for him.
Yeah. Like you normally don't get this from two guys, the caliber of Wilder and a Fury. Like you might see it with a mismatch or something like that, but like for him to take that kind of beating for, you know, from the third round on it was just bad. Like, even if you were coming in this fight and you hated Deontay Wilder after the fight, you was like, oh, that po thing. Like, we didn't need to see this. And I will say, though, like, because I want to see what Wilder does, you know, once he's back and 100% and maybe with a new camp, because we saw, like, as good as Fury was in that first fight, getting with Sugar Hill Stewart, took him to a different level because he looked, even though he put on more weight, he looked more fluid. Like he looked like he was a bit faster even at points than Deontay Wilder. And in my head, Marcus, I was thinking of Rocky III Remember when Rocky had to fight Clubber Lang? Mm-hmm. And the only way Rocky could beat Clubber Lang was to go to Apollo Creed's team and train with the brothers and get some rhythm. And that's in my mind what Tyson Fury had to do. Now, hey, you blokes gonna teach me how to dance? They playing some Motown in the back so Tyson Fury can get some rhythm. What they got me doing here? And his brother's over in the corner like, Paulie, what are these monkeys doing?
Now I'm picturing Tyson listening to grime music.
Paulie from Rocky, in retrospect, not a good human being.
No.
Like, I think the only good person on Rocky's team was Mickey and Adrian. Everybody else around Rocky was kind of...
Cut me, Mitch.
Yeah, till he got with Apollo's team. That's when I think Rocky was the best, when he had Duke training him. So shout out to Rocky. I actually watched Rocky last night, not the first Rocky, but I watched
which one?
Rocky IV last night after the fight.
The best one.
I was gonna say best Rocky. Well, best of the Rocky series, but then like Creed and Creed II.
I've not seen Creed II yet.
You saw the first one?
Yeah, I saw the first one.
What did you think of the first one?
The reason why I like Rocky IV more is, and I like my sports movies to sort of be either just... I prefer them to be over the top as opposed to them trying to fit what sports should be. And I felt like Creed was like... It was almost too realistic in the sense of like the presentation and the story.
Right.
Give me a clown show at Rocky IV where it's just like this over the top, you know, non believable plot, but it's a sports movie.
We're injecting steroids in the dude as he's lifting weights.
Yeah, like give me that. Don't give me like, you know, people that I would recognize on a boxing broadcast now doing this movie.
Rocky runs up a mountain and eluding the KTB.
Yeah, like I don't need Tony Kornheiser in my movies. Like I love him, but I don't need him and Will Bond breaking down fights for me in movies.
That's right. They were in Creed.
Yeah, there is a PTI segment. Yeah.
Yep. I still like Creed better than what was it? I like Balboa. The only part I didn't like, it's crazy because I like Rocky Balboa a lot, but the parts of Rocky Balboa that I didn't like were all the boxing stuff with Antonio Tarver.
Oh, that's right. Like, it was what was his name in that movie?
He was Mason the Lion Dixon.
Yes, Mason.
Which is ridiculous.
Which, yeah, there's a lot going on with that name.
But yeah, like everything except for the boxing stuff in Rocky Balboa was really cool. Mm-hmm. Like with him and the girl and him and his son, like all that stuff worked. But when he was boxing, I was like, Sylvester, it might be time to call it a day.
It is very much time for him to call it a day.
So, unless you got anything else to say about the fight, Marcus, I think we might have to call it a day.
Yeah, nothing else.
Are you excited for what's the next WWE show? The Saudi show?
Saudi show on Thursday. And
which I will not be watching.
I will not be watching either, but I am intrigued by Goldberg and Bray Wyatt.
I kind of hope Marcus, it's not going to happen, but I kind of hope Goldberg just comes out and squashes him just to make people mad.
I think that's going to happen.
Just to make people mad.
I think Goldberg versus Reigns at Mania is probably better than Wyatt versus. I think if you do Wyatt versus Wayne's, Reigns versus, excuse me. I said Riot. That might what happened. That might be the outcome. If you do Wyatt versus Reigns at Mania, I think you run the risk of just the crowd completely shitting on it. Where
yeah,
I think Goldberg, to his credit, like people still like him, and he appears to be in great shape.
I think it was Brian Mann who was like he'd put the belt on Goldberg, and then he'd do Goldberg Reigns, like you said, at Mania, and do Bray Wyatt the Fiend versus John Cena at Mania.
And that's what I would do too. It sounds like if you listen to Meltzer, that Cena versus Elias is not going to happen. So that does.
Which why? No, nobody wants that.
No, yeah. So I think that just opened the door for.
That's a waste of John Cena at this point.
It is. I mean, unless you're, you know, I mean, I thought last year was a waste of John Cena.
Mm.
Despite it being entertaining, just it was, you know.
It was last year was when he brought back Dr. Thugonomics, right?
Yeah. I mean, okay. It was fun, yeah. But.
And then the year before that was the Undertaker thing, right?
Yes. Or was that maybe 3 years ago? It was in New Orleans. Whenever the last time they were in New Orleans. So, yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think yeah, Cena and Wyatt could be interesting. Like, they could do some cool stuff with that.
Yeah, and you would have Goldberg and Roman, which... Then the problem with that match is you're going to assume that Goldberg is going to lose at WrestleMania. And it's like, how do you convince people that this will actually be a competitive match?
If Goldberg actually beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, you would not, Marcus Vandenberg, we would have to end the show because we would not be able to take Jermaine Jones' foolishness for the next year.
That's a good point.
The amount of nonsense that would come out of Chicago from one Jermaine Jones if Goldberg beat Roman Reigns.
I mean, Roman winning at Mania seems like no matter how they get there, that is the end of the chapter. Like, that's going to be the outcome, it seems like. And it should be at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I was telling Chris yesterday, like, I'm actually more excited about Mania 37 than this Mania coming up, and in part because it's going to be in LA, but also, like, I think I'm not really enthused about a lot of the programs. Like, I'm like, Drew's cool, but I'm not like super into Drew and Brock right now. There's the stuff with the Fiend, like you said. It's like, if Cena would be cool, but if they go Roman Fiend, I'm not really here for that. Like, there's a lot of stuff like Kofi just doing a meaningless tag match coming off of what he did last year. It's like, whatever foolishness they do with Charlotte, because I have a feeling they're going to throw Bianca into that match just to lose, and I'm not here for that.
I hope not.
Like, why are we doing this? I need you to talk to your boy Paul about that.
Which one?
NXT Paul.
Okay.
Because he always coming out here saying all these lovely things about Bianca. So I'm going to need you to talk to him. Holler at him for a minute.
All right. I'll make that happen.
Next time y'all at a Kings game celebrating Black History Month.
He was at the fight last night.
Yeah, he was. He actually did a video. He was like, Wilder had a lot of heart, but, you know, that's the way things go in the fight game. And like, here's the thing, Marcus Vandenberg. Like, I wasn't a big Triple H fan, like, in his heyday, but I kind of like old man Paul, like bald Paul.
Bald Paul.
Like, I think he could, like, as bad as he was in that Blade movie back in the day, I think he'd be, like, a good second-tier movie villain now.
Hmm. Like, maybe he could, like, co-star opposite of The Miz on, like, The Marine 7.
He'd actually probably be a better actor than your boy The Miz.
Probably so.
So, no disrespect to your homeboy. I know y'all shared that moment years ago in the mall.
Yes.
But yeah, so Marcus, for the people out there that want to know where they can get in touch with you, check out your hot hockey takes on Twitter and whatnot. Before we get out of here, do you think, since you are the resident baseball expert here, do you think by the next time we speak, which may be in 2 weeks, the Houston Astros will still be in possession of the World Series trophy, that hunk of metal that it is?
Oh, yes. It's too late now. I mean, you can't go back now and say, oh, just kidding, I'm going to take it away. That's theirs.
Even if they take it away, like, what does it mean? Like, you're not going to give it to the Dodgers? Like,
yeah.
So let them keep the trophy and the shame that comes with it.
Yeah, that's. I don't feel I do feel bad for the guys who are now in the Astros that weren't part of those teams. That
Dusty Baker.
Yeah, I mean, Dusty and whatever new guys they have that are going to be associated with the Astros this season. And this is going to wear them. This is a lot of – it is hard being hated. And I think that does eventually catch up to you. And I would not be surprised if they – missed the playoffs this season, despite being a pretty talented team.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this is either going to go the way – well, it actually worked both ways for the Miami Heat. Like, in that first year with the Miami Heat, it kind of caught up to them, like you said. But in the second year, all that hatred with LeBron and Bosh and Wade, they were able to use that. So I think it could go either way for the Astros. Like, and here's the thing. I kind of am rooting for the Astros in large part because I want Dusty Baker to do good, man. I got love for Dusty Baker, Marcus Vandenberg. It's not his fault. Every job he gets, except for San Francisco, he's cleaning up somebody's mess.
Yeah, I mean, and they only get a one-year contract or 1-1. It just feels like this is Dusty's job is to get him through this season, and then they'll be on to another manager.
Dusty Baker is Bernie Sanders.
Ooh, go on.
Bernie Sanders, like, not. He wouldn't be my first choice, as if you know, if I'm the Astros, Dusty Baker probably wouldn't be my first choice. But you need a steady hand for 1 year, Bernie, one term, to get us through the mess that we have been laid at our that has been laid at our feet. And then after that 1 year, you can leave, leaving us in a better place. Hopefully, what I'm saying, Bernie Sanders, one term, and then you got to go.
Can we go no terms for Bernie?
I'm going to tell you Marcus Vandenberg, who I actually like, ain't got no chance in the world, but he just seems like, this is going to sound funny when I say it, he just seems like a good and decent honorable white man. Mm-hmm. And that's your boy Tom Steyer.
Yeah, I like Tom.
I kind of like Tom.
Yeah.
Like, he got money, but he's using money for a good cause. He's helping the environment.
Was Tom attacked for being a billionaire like Bloomberg was? Because God forbid you make money in this country the right way.
But see, Tom is a cool billionaire. Unlike Bloomberg, Tom ain't stopping and frisking nobody.
He's not.
Tom wants to stop environmental waste and frisk the economy back to where it can. I need to be Tom Steyer's campaign manager.
Send him a tweet.
Because we bring that smoke to Bloomberg. Like we might not win the nomination, Tom, but we're going to win these debates.
Yeah, Tom's got no chance, but.
No. Yeah, I'm not enthused about the field.
I got a bad feeling about November 8th.
When you have a bad elimination chamber where you got like six contenders that you don't want to see go for the title, but they're all better than your weak champion, Jinder Mahal.
Yeah. Trump is Jinder.
And then we got a bunch of Dolph Ziggler's and Heath Slater's in the elimination chambers.
But what happens when Russia butts Jinder to retain, much the chagrin of the rest of the country?
Yes, this is it's gonna be crazy. And then here's the thing, Marcus Vandenberg, because I'm with you. Like, I think we're probably headed for 4 more years of your man Trump here. Mm-hmm. What happens when the 4 years is up? Because he ain't going nowhere. Y'all think he leaving? Trump ain't leaving. I'm just letting you know. You heard it here first on the Kings of Sport podcast. Next 4 years, you better stay. 4 years, better. I'm gonna be like the late night ads on Fox News. Start buying gold. Start buying bonds and stocks. Get your little bunker, cause
this country can't take 4 more years, Nate.
this is gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
So at least we'll have WrestleMania next year, Marcus.
In Los Angeles, yes.
In Inglewood.
In Inglewood.
WrestleMania 37 presented by Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
I would say if, I mean, probably happened this year, if anything, but Trump has been at some sporting events. Mm. I wonder if he's put in the call to Vince for Tampa Bay to say, hey, can I come through? Vince would probably say no, because he's probably paranoid about pissing off half his fan base at least. But
yeah, Vince is like, nah, we don't need that problem, those problems, Donald.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, like, the reaction to Trump at WrestleMania. It'd probably be – he might have some support, but there's a lot of European fans that go to those WrestleManias. And they
international fans, yeah.
Yeah, they would get in Trump's ass. Oh, so, yeah, like, that's what we got to look forward to, America. Yeah. So, vote for Tom Steyer. He's our only hope. Tom Steyer is staying in the rafters. The only person that could save us from the NWO.
What does that make, Bernie?
Bernie is DDP. Like, you think he's going to be the dude to save the day, but he ends up getting beat down. And Tom Steyer got to come and save him.
Hmm.
And Elizabeth Warren is Lex Luger, somehow.
I think Elizabeth Warren's better on the mic than Lex Luger is.
Yeah. And Joe Biden is Ric Flair.
No, Biden is Biden has to be whatever wrestler had a bunch of talent but just disappointed.
but was still around during the NWO.
Yeah.
Larry Zbysko. Joe Biden is Larry Zbysko. Like, he used to be a legend, but now it's like, this what we doing?
Yeah.
So, on that note, Marcus Vandenberg, again, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can find me at N8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/thekingsofsport. Check me out on Post Wrestling, Rocking My Via Picture Show, which Marcus has been on in the past. Him and Mike Mills, friend of the program, were with me on the Gridiron Gang episode of Rocking My Via Picture Show. That's a Post Wrestling. Yeah, and that's about it. So, yeah, Kings of Sport, Cospod, KOS_POD on Twitter, Facebook.com/Kings of Sport. And, yeah, that's all the plugs we got, Marcus Vandenberg.
That's it.
So this might be our last Black History Month episode. So happy Black History Month, everybody.
It would definitely, I mean, it's the 23rd. It would definitely be the last one.
Yeah, shout out to your man, Matt. What was his last name?
Matt Dumba.
It's Matt Dumba, honorary Negro.
He might be traded by tomorrow's trade deadline because he's a pretty good defenseman. So we'll see.
Mm. So, yeah, we will see where he ends up. But, yeah, we'll see you guys and girls in March, where we'll probably be gearing up for some WrestleMania talk. We'll definitely have some NBA talk, some college basketball talk as we get ready for the Final Four. And we'll probably get into some more baseball talk. Who knows where this Astros saga will go? Because I don't know if you noticed, Marcus, but these baseball players, they big mad about this.
They're very upset. They feel very wronged, and they want justice. Justice like, by the way of a fastball.
Yes, like everybody turned into Brian McCann, and Brian McCann, ironically, is on the cheetah side.
Yeah, just what a coward way to get justice is to throw it. I mean, I get why they would throw at the team, but yeah. Come on, like, there's only baseball, man.
Like, you know it's bad when Nick Marcakis is out here threatening people.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're doing, Nick. You've been in the league, like, what, 15 years, and this is what you're doing?
Yeah.
So it's going to be no shortage of topics to talk about. So, again, happy Black History Month, everybody. Marcus and I will be back next month with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. To this day, to this day. Dude, can we still use the Deontay Wilder meme? Because I love that.
Of course.
To this day. So, just yesterday wasn't a good day for Deontay, but we're going to keep it moving. Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to leave it all on the mat. Because that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it.